see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mothers cry cause the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is...
I turn my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking. People hearing without listening. People writing.
That entire piece of music to open the program. There are things that anger me. I would suspect that each and every one of you have got degrees of anger about one thing or another on any given point in time. Good evening. Jeffrey Bennett here, live on this 17th day of October. I have had some things in mind as relates to the program over the course of the weekend. I begrudgingly began to work on it all this morning. Some of the things I planned to do, we're not going to do. Can do some unusual things for this Monday. I see my dog has gotten out of behind her cage and has come to visit. There's a piece on the Atlantic publication online that I came across the other day, and I would not normally be drawn to it because of the subject matter or the subject person. One Alex Jones. As I've stated in the past, they still call him Mr. Jones. I've made no bones about the fact that I've never liked nor trusted Jones. And this goes all the way back to the late 1990s when he got his start. I've shared the story before, so I'm not going to waste your time sharing it again. But then as I was writing this paragraph as an introduction to this publication I posted this morning, I then remembered the morning of 9/11 when he was on the air opposite my broadcast claiming that he had the proof of the cause of the attacks on that fateful day. All while the planes were crashing into the Twin Towers. Now, as his listeners, as well as mine and many others, were sitting at home in total awe and shock and fear, watching all of that unfold that day, I felt that Jones was out of line, and I attacked him live that morning. I've never looked back since that day. And yet, what I'm about to share with you certainly opens up some interesting concerns and questions about Jones and many others. Many others of the rest of us who are still out fighting the fights. But then I still believe that for Mr. Jones, it was always about the shekels, never the truth. That may offend some of you. Don't let it. Until you've listened to what we have to share tonight. Because be aware of what I'm about to share, for in many respects, this column is about the right, you and I, and those of the left continues to attack. The fabrication industrial complex is skating on thin legal ice, I would like to believe. Last Wednesday, two extraordinary things happened. First, a Connecticut jury awarded almost $1 billion to the families of 8 Sandy Hook victims, imposing a massive legal liability on Jones, a far-right media personality who had claimed that the Sandy Hook shooting was a hoax and that Sandy Hook families were actors who were lying and manipulating the public. There are going to be some of those of you who believe that. I've never believed it. But there was much that came out of Alex's mouth that I never believed anyway. But secondly, many of the rights that most popular voices were outraged. But not at Jones. They viewed the verdict not just as a direct attack on free speech, but as evidence of the power of what they and many of us refer to as the regime. The amorphous, the elite American establishment. All to cancel and persecute the American right. There's a man named Charlie Kirk, founder of Turning Point USA. And he tweeted to his 1.7 million followers last week. This isn't about calculating real damages from Alex Jones. This is about sending a message that if you upset the regime, they will destroy you completely and utterly forever. Do you understand the simplicity of that message from Charlie Kirk? In many respects, my friends, it is what many of us have been fighting for an awful long time. I've been on the air longer than Alex Jones. That doesn't make me better. Doesn't make me worse. I have my own ways of approaching issues. I've made it very plain and simple. I don't listen to other broadcasters. I never have. Oh, I could expound on how I attacked Jones on that day, but it serves no purpose. Some of the people that worked for him contacted me and berated me for making the statements that I made. Not concerned about it. Never was. Doesn't make me right. Doesn't make me wrong. We just have different ways of approaching issues. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene tweeted to her 1.1 million followers last week, "No matter what you think of Alex Jones, all he did was speak words. He was not the one who pulled the trigger. Were his words wrong, and did he apologize? Yes. That's what freedom of speech is. Freedom to speak words. Political persecution must end," she concluded. Well, Kirk and Green were hardly alone. For in the hours after the verdict, person after person after person, all of whom possess immense social media platforms, rallied to condemn the outcome. Why? To understand the reflexive defense of Jones, one must understand the ethos of the new right, both aggressively punitive and perpetually aggrieved. It lives to smash its enemies in the mouth and burn down the American establishment. At the same time, the so-called new right claims that it's the real victim, as if lies and conspiracies shouldn't carry consequences. I'm not sure about that reference, new right. What exactly does that mean? Am I a member of the new right? I don't think so. I've never really changed my mannerisms on the air, my speaking habits, other than to insert an occasional questionable word. But you see, my friends, there's far more to the outrage than mere performance. The Jones verdict last week was a direct threat to the new right's fabrication industrial complex, whatever the hell that is. The Connecticut trial represented one of a series of high-profile legal assaults on right-wing fabrications. Now, I don't care for the continued use of the term by the author, fabrications. The author's name is David French. He is apparently an attorney. He is a continued writer for The Atlantic. But I do take offense to some of those terms. Don't you? We should. And, of course, I lost my place. You got to bear with me. Where the heck was I? Okay, here we go. All right, so Dominion voting systems and Smartmatic have multiple defamation suits against Fox News, OAN, Newsmax, MyPillow's Mike Lindell, lawyers Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell. Also, news anchors Lou Dobbs, Maria Bartiromo. Two Georgia election workers, Ruby Freeman and Wandry Moss, have sued a popular far-right website called Gateway Pundit for a series of alleged false claims that they committed voter fraud in Fulton County, Georgia. False claims. Now, I disagree with that. But in this case, the Jones verdict also follows on the heels of Fox News' decision to pay millions of dollars after the network broadcast false claims that the murdered Democratic National Committee staffer Seth Rich had a role in hacking and leaking DNC emails during the 2016 campaign. And these cases all share characteristics with the Jones case. Far-right figures aggressively pushed blatant, easily disproved falsehoods and inflicted a catastrophic degree of misery on their targets. Allow me to share some of those claims from Freeman and Moss's lawsuit, wherein they stated that at the height of defendants' campaign of disinformation, Ms. Freeman, at the recommendation of the FBI, fled her home and did not return for 2 months. On January 6, 2021, a crowd on foot and in vehicles surrounded Ms. Freeman's house. And Ms. Freeman was forced to shut her online business when social media became impossible to navigate. Ms. Moss had suffered personal and professional consequences in her ongoing work on Fulton County elections. And on at least two occasions, strangers showed up at her grandmother's home and attempted to push into the house in order to make a citizen's arrest, end quote. Interesting. But the question I raise is how many other lawsuits have taken place? How many questionable manipulations of votes? There's four states in this country who have developed amazing degrees of evidence to show the falsity of the voting that took place in the last few years. The author of this piece is a longtime First Amendment attorney. He's filed lawsuits defending First Amendment in federal courts from coast to coast. Filed an amicus brief defending the First Amendment in a Supreme Court case during this current term. And he knows that defamation claims are subject to abuse and that plaintiffs should have to clear a high evidentiary hurdle before they're able to hold another person liable for their words. And he continues that the plaintiffs in the Jones case almost certainly would have been able to clear that hurdle. But you see, they didn't have to. Because the trial court had issued a default judgment against Jones after he repeatedly refused to comply with court orders to turn over documents crucial to the plaintiff's case. And thus, the trial was thus over damages only. And the jury was charged only with deciding the amount of the family's loss. Defamation doctrine has always existed side by side with American free speech jurisprudence. Applied properly, it can and does play a vital role in our American system of ordered liberty. You see, defamation has never been considered part of the freedom of speech that our Constitution secures. Protection against targeted harmful falsehoods has long been a bedrock principle in common law. But sadly, however, there is a market for misinformation. In a polarized nation, angry voters are willing to believe almost anything about their political opponents. They're hungry for news that reinforces their convictions that their political enemies aren't just wrong, but they're evil. And we all know that some of them are. Fabrication industrial complex, my friends, is oh so lucrative. And when the market falls, law and justice can prevail. Defamation litigation cannot reform a grifter's heart, but it can compensate a grifter's victims. And successful cases tell the right-wing public that they cannot trust the media outlets that led them astray. And I want to emphasize, we cannot trust the media outlets that lead us astray. And that goes for those media outlets, no matter which side of the issues they lay upon. And that's one of the things that always bothers me. Our author makes reference to not being able to trust the media outlets that lead them astray. But what does he do about the media outlets like CNN and what Fox News has become and so many other networks that are all in the hands and the control of the left side? And so, in a sense, Charlie Kirk was right. The Jones jury did send a message, but the message was not about destroying dissidents. It was about seeking justice. And even though the final damages won't be known until they've been reviewed by the courts and the case concludes, the message is still clear. Grave harms require a serious response. And so all of this remains to be seen whether the right-wing audience will absorb the truth. In fact, the hysterical response to the Jones verdict suggests that many of the right's leading voices are trying to discredit the legal system in the eyes of their fans. And when even the ordinary Americans who served on the Jones jury are decried as part of the regime, you know that far-right paranoia is reaching a new peak. But the legal cases will proceed. Future juries shall convene. And when they do, all the angry, desperate tweets in the world won't save the right from the consequences of its malicious lies. And that, you see, is a statement that angers me. Because, once again, this author is attacking the right. But what's the right? What's the left? I'm not sure that I know anymore. We have elections coming up in a matter of weeks. I don't trust what's going to come out of them. I'm not a supporter of right-leaning politicians. I'm damn sure not a supporter of left-leaning politicians. I am a supporter of those who support the law, the Constitution, as it was written. Not those who are paid to do some other things. I'd like to see David French write about some of those items. Now, through a total quirk today, I came across another article. Different author, also published on The Atlantic. I have added it as a link to this article. I don't agree with everything that's in this article, but I felt it was well worth sharing. The article is entitled "The Alex Jones Verdict Exposed an Important Legal Truth." Which is quite an interesting title, because when push comes to shove, it doesn't have a damn thing to do with the way the man wrote. It's currently published on federalobserver.com. I invite you to read it, to share it, but also to follow through on the secondary link called The Martyrdom of Alex Jones. I've not read it. I've not had the time. I've had a busy day today. And so that's enough, I hope, of my commentaries about Mr. Jones. I've done, I think, one of the earliest articles that I wrote years ago was called "They Call Me Mr. Jones," or "They Call Him Mr. Jones," whatever. But it was more of a reference, I think, to the 9/11 situation. It was also a reference to the day that Mr. Jones and I were introduced at a preparedness expo. And it was his first one. And people had gone out of their way to introduce the two of us. And he could have cared less. I wasn't offended. That's your opinion. I don't care, pal. But I've watched the things that Jones has done over the years. And the things he's said. And the things he's been involved with. By the way, even his ex-wife is not saying anything particularly kind about Jones in this mess right now. But that's, hey, who knows? That could be an ex-marriage related issue. So we conclude with this portion. I'm not going to spend any more time talking about him. But I think that this particular article was less about Jones than it was about people who probably disagree with the author, and the author disagrees with them. If he's an attorney, I suppose he could be a leftist. But what is a leftist anymore? What is a rightist? It's all gone to hell. It's all gone to hell. But come on, it's a new day. And, well, nothing is new. We're going to do something we don't normally do on a Monday. And there are some interesting reasons for it. I'm not going to spend a lot of time giving you, you know, we're going to talk some economics today. To a degree. Some things that have kind of built up over the last few days. We published a good number of them on Sierra Madre Precious Metals. One of the first ones is interesting. It's entitled The 1001 Imploded Stocks of 2022, which are down 80% or more. So far. And the author is a guy that I've been aware of for a number of years, and I am going to blank and tell you, I can't even think of his name right now. Has an interesting website. No, I think we better not. Give me a quick second. I'll see if I can pull this guy's name up. I do apologize. Has a website called wolfstreet.com. And in this particular piece that he's posted, he refers to it as the everything bubble. The greatest speculative bubble in history by most any metric became the everything bust this past spring as the markets begin to come down. And what he has done is published a complete list, 1,001 of these stocks that have gone down. Huge, huge time. 82%, 91%, 93%. Pharmaceuticals, therapeutic organizations, science organizations, biopharma. Adamas Pharmaceuticals. I mean, it goes on and on and on. I mean, can you imagine that? The group called Athlon Medical. Lawful Auto Medical. Agile Biotherapeutics. Agile Therapeutics. Exo Health Aids, Allied Healthcare Products. It goes on and on and on. Not all of the firms happen to be healthcare related. But shockingly enough, a lot of them are. This is the most amazing list of, in effect, failed stocks that you're ever going to read. The author had a computer check the prices of 6,281 stocks every weekend. But in order to be qualified as imploded, the price, the latest price at that time had to be 80% or more below the stock's high since the COVID crash bottom on March 23rd of 2020. Profound, profound piece to look at. It's shocking. 80%, my God. Headline. Physical silver demands soars. Digital silver demand plunges. And by the way, as long as we're going to bring up the digital, I've not posted it because I just don't care. Bitcoin has tanked huge time. Huge time. It's taking a roll, kick in the butt. But let's go back to silver. Silver has been very difficult to get in quantity. We're watching the supply and demand issue with silver take over. It's kind of an interesting dichotomy has developed in the silver market. What does it mean? Does it mean anything at all? Maybe we'll find out one day. It has been an interesting year. The last 6 months have been positively brutal. And while we await the eventual central bank pivot back toward easing and QE, COMEX digital gold and silver have been whack, crack, and shellacked. But as we've seen multiple times in the past, this has led to a widening gap between the future price and the physical price. I have a local supplier that I've never done a lot of purchasing with. But if I go to my biggest supplier, one of the largest wholesale suppliers in the country, and they can't deliver silver to me for 6 to 8 weeks or sometimes more, they won't even take an order. Oh, not unless I want to get 1,000-ounce bars and 100-ounce bars. Can't get rounds from them. Nothing. We might be seeing the first stages of the destruction of the digital derivative and fractional pricing scheme. But I go to my local guy, he's been able to continue to supply. But the cost per ounce keeps going up and up and up because of the shortage of product. It's no different than going to your grocery store and buying your favorite meat or your soup or whatever it is you're buying over there. It shocks me that people get very upset with what they're having to pay at the grocery store. And because they're upset with the markup on silver, I'm not making any more money on it. They get upset. They don't order anything. And yet the gold orders have continued to increase. Headline. Inflation today is sitting at a 75-year high. And they're trying to tell us that unemployment is just a mere 24%. 24% is pretty steep, but I would be willing to suspect it's a lot higher than that. I went to lunch today. Probably a place I should not have eaten. I think the spice got to me. Taco Bell. There's something I like eating over at Taco Bell, and I went over and got it. And son of a gun, the only person working was the manager and this one young gal who happens to own the same exact car that we're restoring for our granddaughter right now, a 2003 Acura TLX. And the reason I know that is because I was talking to her one day, and I gave her some information where she can get parts far more affordably than she's getting it for her car. Unemployment, 24%. Taco Bell can't keep people working. McDonald's can't keep people working. My doctor's office can't keep people working. I don't care where you go. People don't want to work. Somehow, some way, they're coming up with money elsewhere. But I believe the unemployment figures are far higher than 24%. John Williams, the economist and founder of Shadow Stats, says the government's phony numbers don't show the public how bad things really are with the economy. And he prides himself in giving you the actual economic numbers without accounting gimmicks that make things look better than they actually are. For example, the latest official government number on inflation shows 8.3%. It's officially a 40-year high. But it gets worse when you strip away all the accounting gimmicks. You see the real number that is burdening real people in the real world. What are those figures? I could get into it, but what's the point? You and I are out spending money every day buying gasoline, buying food. We know damn well how much more it's costing us. Oh, where do we get to the upcoming heating bills for this coming winter? Oh, and here's another very interesting one, central banks. Gold price may be down, but that hasn't stopped the central banks from purchasing all they can get a hold of. And as the latest data shows, they do continue to add gold to shore up their reserves. Because they also remember that in the long haul, gold still stands. It still has value. It'll still barter and trade, purchase. Which sense, given the context of what's going on in the world? A world that's coming under increasing financial pressure as the Federal Reserve and other central banks are raising interest rates to combat inflation, which has begun to wreak havoc in many corners of the world, my friends. Oh, boy. We are most definitely taking it in the shorts, are we not? Oh. Now, we don't eat with oil in our house. Not that I know of. When I was a kid, I used to go out with my stepdad, who actually was my father's uncle, and help him deliver oil in the winter. He was a construction guy during the rest of the year, paver, streets, driveways, whatever the case may happen to be. But in the wintertime, he drove the truck, delivered oil to people's homes. Some of those homes in places like Glencoe, Illinois, are probably still doing it. And according to what we're looking at, the cost of heating a home with oil is going to jump to over $2,354 this coming winter. And propane and natural gas users are going to be paying $1,668 and $931, respectively. The Federal Energy Agency said as fuel costs rise and icy weather closes in. Those using propane are going to see a 5% price spike against last winter. Natural gas users are going to see a 28% rise. And consumers are going to spend hundreds of dollars more if winter is colder than expected, the agency says. And the projections for the October-March season come amid soaring inflation and global energy market chaos linked to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And as millions brace themselves for the first coldest weather of the season. Oh, we're providing you with charts and everything. And then, of course, America's inflation hotspots have been revealed. Rising costs have hit everybody. But residents of Phoenix and Atlanta and Miami hurt the most. That, according to the study. Want to avoid the price hikes? Move to Anchorage. Growing share of Americans say prices of everyday goods are increasing. Groceries and gas top the concerns. Which of the following items are you most concerned about? Prices rising. Groceries, 92%. Gas, 81%. Housing, 52%. Vehicles, 37%. Clothing, 30%. Travel, 23%. Entertainment, 18%. Furniture, 13%. Other, 5%. There's a lot of stuff that's going to be affected. Because inflation is burning holes in the pockets across America. How big that hole is depends on where you live. Residents of Phoenix, where I live, feel the pain of rising prices worst of all. The sprawling metropolitan area, which also includes Mesa and Scottsdale and Tempe and Avondale and Litchfield Park, et cetera, feel the impact of rising prices more acutely than anywhere else in this country. That according to a study by personal finance website Wallet Hub. And as one of the fastest growing areas of the country, Phoenix suffers higher rates of inflation because supplies of food and gas and housing can't keep up with it. And a shortage of workers drives up the wages, making the problem worse. The shortage of workers drives up the wages. That's bullcrap. Oh, yeah, there's a huge shortage of workers. Unless you're Hispanic, then you'll get a job. But if you're white, forget it. You're liable to have a boss that's Hispanic, Mexican. Came up over the border a few years ago. Worked his way up. That's the reality. Oh, here's a marvelous story for you. How's your 401k doing, huh? Joey ain't doing you no favors, you know. He's hammering your 401k. Soaring inflation has wiped $2.1 trillion, an average of 25% off American workers' retirement savings. Inflation's taken a 25% off the 401ks of American workers, despite Joey's insistence that the economy is strong as hell. No, Joe, you misquoted that. You meant to say the economy has gone to hell. Of course, the analysis was done by conservative economist Stephen Moore and E.J. Antoni, who said that the balance of Americans' 401ks will ruin your whole day, week, and month. Okay, it's basically just the opposite of what Joey does and says, right? You know. Moore and Antoni note that inflation has been going at 8% for the past 7 months, despite the White House claiming that things were temporary. Yeah, well, I think inflation's far greater than 8%. Remember, many years ago, they took gasoline and food out of the inflation figures, remember? And we continue to go on. The housing market's cooling. Analysts predict existing U.S. home sales in September are going to show a drop for the 8th consecutive month, blaming high borrowing costs, with the rate of mortgages set to surpass 7% this week. 8th straight month. And the decline, which has persisted since February, depicts a real estate market. Excuse me. That's becoming increasingly inaccessible for first-time homebuyers. They've been deterred from entering the market by the rapidly rising home prices. Oh, yeah, they're coming down, but not that fast. Comes the national average home price for all housing types reached about $389,000 last month. That's still 7.7% higher than it was a year ago. Down slightly from where it was this past July at $428,000. Oh, and here we sit, some more inflation figures. And they're jumping all over the place. Core inflation hits a new 40-year high of 6.6%, the troubling sign that higher prices are sticking. Oh, yeah, they're sticking all right. Right up my tuchus. Oh, and that sent the Dow Jones tumbling 500 points. Hey, here's good news. Social Security recipients are going to get an 8.7% boost in payments next year. That's right, $70 million to benefit from an average of $140 a month and the biggest cost of living increase since 1981 amid historic inflation. And you know what that means? That lousy $140 isn't going to mean jack shit. You understand? It isn't going to make a difference. It's not going to allow you to save that $140. You're going to be paying it at the gas pump, at the food pump. Oh, they're going to pump it up our you-know-whats. Oh, U.S. rents rose 7.8% in September. They're still up 25% since before the pandemic. Oh, which pandemic are they talking about? Are they talking about COVID or something else? I don't know. I can't figure it all out. Because wages fail to keep the pace and renters feel squeezed. Cincinnati sees the biggest rise. Milwaukee rents are slumping the most. Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, Nashville, Portland are also some of the places in the U.S. where rent prices are rocketing the most. I don't understand why Portland. I mean, my God, people are getting the hell out of Portland. What a joke that's become. Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, Nashville. And the data shows that along with Milwaukee, Minneapolis, Jacksonville, and Baltimore are other places in the country where the rent prices are starting to cool off. It's amazing. Mortgage rates rocket too. If that's my girlfriend from my doctor's office, she shouldn't be calling me now. Somebody's calling me now. Too bad I'm not answering it. Mortgage rates rocket to a 16-year high of 6.81%. The eighth consecutive increase in a row. Oh, yeah, it's going crazy, man. Average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage hits 6.81% for the week ending October the 7th. Eighth straight weekly increase. That, according to the Mortgage Bankers Association. Higher borrowing costs have sent home sales volumes plunging. The MBA's purchase index, which measures new mortgages to buy a home, dropped 2% from the prior week and 39% from a year ago. Wow. Got physical? Close in hand? We're going to do something a little unusual tonight. It is exceptionally rare that I will talk about precious metals on a Monday night. There is so much going on. We've talked about the shortage of silver, the fact that we can't acquire large quantities. I've got people that want to buy silver. They want to spend $3,000, $10,000, whatever. They want to put a part of it in silver, maybe a part of it in gold, whatever the case may be. There's plenty I'm able to do with gold, but there's little I can do with silver. I am not driving that much. And in order for me to pick up stuff from my local guy, I've got to go and pick it up or wait till my wife gets off work and send her over to pick it up. And then, of course, I get to repackage it all. And, you know, I've been getting people buying 10 rolls of silver, whatever the case may be. That's a little hefty for me to be picking up, but I'm doing it. But there's considerable amount of time to get all those packaged. When I get a roll of silver from my supplier, they're not rattle-free. I've got to package those darn things up good and tight. I had a gentleman who contacted me recently who was interested in buying some stuff. So I did some shopping around. He actually wanted to buy some British sovereigns. And he came up with a figure that he wanted to spend. And when I found British sovereigns, which now these are old British sovereigns, typically they're King George and King Edward, which means they're, you know, pre-World War II, they're pre-World War I. And one of my suppliers, one of my biggest ones, has not had any for months. And another one of my suppliers, I just happened to call out of curiosity because there's been times in all the years I've been in business that he has bailed us out. I've shared the story with you. October of 2010, I had a client who retired. He had $250,000 in his 401k. He wanted to convert the entire thing into an IRA full of silver. Nobody can deliver except this one guy, and delivered $250,000 worth of silver in 2 days. And I've continued to go back with him, and he's the one guy that's got it. So the client that contacted me a week and a half ago or so, I gave him some figures on British sovereigns. He doubled his commitment. $36,000 is what he chose to purchase. His goods have already shipped. You know, we had a holiday. The money comes in. You got to wait a day to wire the funds. Blah, 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 blah. We do it. It goes out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I know that my guy still had some more British sovereigns left over. Didn't know how many. Well, obviously, he sold some of them. As of earlier today, he told me he's still got six sets of British sovereigns available. Oh, these are not all spent up and circulated and beat to death. We've talked about British sovereigns in the past. I've done things with Swiss, with Italian, with Greek, with German, with pieces from South America, from Russia. Old Tsarist Russia. I've done a lot of things with these international gold coins. The most recognizable fractional gold coin in the world will remain a British sovereign. They weigh just under a quarter of an ounce each. And these coins are what we're going to refer to as AUBU. About uncirculated and brilliant uncirculated. The condition on these things are phenomenal. But I only have six sets, so I'm going to give you a number, a phone number right now. Don't call it because I'm on the air. If you have a cell phone and you can text me, and if you're interested in purchasing any of these six sets, send me a text immediately. But don't commit to something unless you're prepared to move forward. Six sets at $9,100 per set. That is delivered. $9,100 delivered. Oh, and by the way, I did some real quick comparison before we went on the air. In fact, the opening music was already running. You would spend about $155 more per coin to buy a quarter ounce American Gold Eagle. Oh, and the American Eagles have also, the U.S. Mint has come out informing us that they will be cutting back again this coming year on the mintage of gold and silver eagles. So at $9,100 for a 20-coin set, that's a half a roll. You want a full roll? You want to double up? Go ahead, do it. It's okay. I did some shopping around. I'm at $9,100. You think I'm bending you over? I found the same offer being made elsewhere at $9,700. $600 more. Oh, with no guarantee of delivery. As of right now, my supplier has these available. Now, if we sell them tonight, by the time I'm able to get a hold of him in the morning, we may find out that two sets aren't available. So whoever places the order last is going to wind up getting cut back out. 602-799-8214. That's how you can reach me by cell phone. Send me a text now if you have an interest so we can get a reservation in and get these things put away. Okay, that's number one. Secondly, if you do not have a cell phone, if we've done business before, you know how to get a hold of me via email. And right now, the best email to use is kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. KETTLEMORAINELTD@cox.net. It's time for me to get on out of here. If this thing is of interest to you, wake up. It's the one form of economics you're going to have to fall back on. You'll be able to overcome the inflation, the crap that they're shoving down our throats. Thanks for staying with us tonight. See you tomorrow. Without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett.
These are the days of the open hand. We will not be the last. Look around now. These are the days of the beggars and the choosers. This is the year of the hungry man. whose place is in the past, hand in hand with the guns and legitimate excuses. The rich declare themselves poor, and most of us are not sure if we have too much, but we're taking our chances, say. I sang 20 years and a day, but nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flame. It's hard to love, there's so much to hate. Hanging on to hope when there is no hope to speak of. In the wounded skies above, say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. Hand. Oh, we hold on to what you can. And charity, charity is the coat you wear twice a year. Yeah, this is the year of the guilty man. Your television takes a stand, and you find that what was over there is over here. So you scream from behind your door, say what's mine is mine and not yours. I may have too much, but I'll take all my chances, say. I sang it 20 years and a day, there's nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love, Jesus, there's so much to hate. Hanging on to woe, there is no hope to speak out. In the wounded skies above, say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time.
Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.